Almighty God, we come to you in Jesus' name, that name that is above every name. We come in that name. We don't come in our own name. We don't even come in and of ourselves. We come in him. For we are in him and he is in us. And we have been made one with Almighty God. Jesus, you said there in John chapter 17 that they may be one as we are one. You said that over and over and over again. That we may be one as you were one with the Father, that we may be one with the Father. And then that we may be one with one another as we are one with the Father. So we have gathered in this place tonight, and you said where the brethren dwell together in unity is the place of your commanded blessing. We have come together in the name of Jesus. We have come together to spend time with you. Oh, Almighty God, our heart is to know you more. Our heart is to extend love to you more, but also to receive love more. And God, that one thing above everything else is so important, and it is the love of God. Oh, Father, oh, we desire the gifts to be in operation. That's our part, is to desire the gifts to be in operation. But you said there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the last verse, you said, and I show unto you a more excellent way. The more excellent way then going into the 13th chapter is the way of love. And God, if we don't have the gifts in operation, we can still love people. If we don't have the gifts in operation, we can still love you. Oh God, that's something that we can do all the time. And so we choose to extend love upward. We talk about that, and it really talks about it is giving grace back to you. It is giving thanks and praise unto you. And we do that now as an extension of our heart, as an extension of the love that is in us. We declare, great and mighty are you, and we love you. We love you. We love you. Oh, have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. And God, reveal truth to us. Reveal truth to us. Reveal truth to us. Reveal truth to us. Lay it bare. You're not hiding it from us. So we ask. And we're asking according to your word. God, you said in James chapter 1, if any man lacks wisdom, if any person lacks wisdom, let them ask of God who gives to all liberally and upbraideth not. You don't get angry at us. And it will be given to them. Oh, God, you said, Jesus, your words said, knock, and the door will be opened. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. For everyone that seeks and knocks and asks will receive. Now, that's according to your word. But, God, we're asking according to your word. We ask for the wisdom of God. And we thank you for it. We thank you for it. Holy Spirit. You are called the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Give us wisdom and revelation now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to go to a place that I don't go real often. I'm going to go to the book of Job. And I want to read this out of the Message Bible. And the Message Bible kind of lumps many verses together. It lumps 6 through 10 together. And so we're going to look at this. And this is just to begin, just to kind of kick us off here. If you've never read the book of Job, he had three friends that talked to him, and they weren't real encouraging. I'm not sure you need friends like his friends were, but they didn't know any better. They really didn't. But this man, he says some incredible things here. And in verse 6, he says, this is what Elihu, son of Barachel, the Buzite, said. I'm a young man and you are old. I'm in chapter 32. In chapter 32, beginning in verse 6. This is what Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, said. I'm a young man, and you are old and experienced. Now, there's nothing wrong with age, and there's nothing wrong with experience. But as he goes on, he gives us some revelation here. That's why I kept quiet and held back from joining the discussion. I kept thinking, and this is what I want to look at. I kept thinking, experience will tell. The longer you live, the wiser you become. But I see it was wrong. It's God's Spirit in a person. The breath of the Almighty One that makes wise human insight possible. The experts have no corner on wisdom. Getting old doesn't guarantee good sense. So I've decided to speak up. Listen well. I'm going to tell you exactly what I think. This is incredible. He says, it's God's Spirit in a person, the breath of the Almighty One, that makes wise human insight possible. We can seek for wisdom from the books that are written on the subject that we're approaching. We can seek someone who has a degree, who has all kinds of letters after their name, or we can go to God. And the difference is vast. The difference is vast. Because experience and all the books that you can read will never give you the wisdom that God. Now, God may use them to impart something to you. But I'm telling you, if you need answers from God, go to God. If you need answers, go to God. Because He is the God of wisdom. In Ephesians chapter 1, we go here all the time, beginning in verse 16. I'm going back to the King James. Ephesians 1, verse 16. And he begins there this great prayer that we so often go to. And he says there, put that up, Debbie. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And then he goes on and he talks about that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. So he says that he prays for those at Ephesus. Well, guess what? This is written to us just as much as it was to them. That God would give unto them the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's the Holy Ghost. In the knowledge of Him. That He would enlighten their eyes. But before we even get to the enlightening of their eyes for the hope, He says, I pray that there would be really an outpouring of the Holy Ghost unto you in the areas of wisdom and revelation. You need revelation from God. Not just man's wisdom, not just man's plans. Because God can give you in a moment of time what you need. And in a moment of time, He can change your destiny completely if you will listen and you will heed. You follow where He does lead. You go where He wants you to go. You listen and you are attentive. So, then let's go over to 2 Timothy 3, I believe. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, when you examine that, it means all Scripture is breathed by God. In other words, all Scripture is interwoven with the Holy Ghost. You've heard me say over and over again, there are two great arenas of learning to flow with the Holy Ghost, of learning to operate with Him. Those two great arenas are prayer and the Word of God. The reason I am so big on the Word of God, and I have been for many, many years, but I've discovered some things. He's in it. The Holy Spirit is in the written Word. And so when you begin to get in it, He will interact with you through the Scriptures. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, that's teaching. For reproof, for correction, correction, that's pretty easy to understand. He's correcting some things. And for instruction in righteousness. But the word reproof, it sounds like reproof and correction are the same thing, and they are not. And I've not found a translation that I really like how they translate this. But that word reproof really means persuasion. He will bring to you persuasion or convincedness from the word itself. It's built in. So, when we get into the word of God, he's going to bring certain things before you. He's going to bring certain doctrines before you. And he is going to teach you. But in the midst of his teaching, he will also correct you. And in the midst of his correction, he will instruct you how to walk this out. Instruction in righteousness has to do with training. But in the midst of all of that, being in the Word, he will bring you persuasion. He will bring to you a persuadedness or a convincedness that this is right, this is true. It's amazing what God can do through the written Word of God. And we can grab a hold of these things, and the Holy Spirit working in that will guide you from Scripture to Scripture, from place to place, from doctrine to doctrine, and he will tie them together. Because, you know, he's the one who wrote the book. He's the one who's in the book. He's the one who knows all of this. So, let's go then over to Colossians. And we've been on this for a while, and we're going to be on it for a while. We're doing a verse-by-verse teaching on the book of Colossians. And we're still in chapter 1. So let's go here. And we'll pick up in verse 9. And I know we've gotten beyond this. I'm just going to pick up here for a little bit of context. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet. Which has made us meet. He has made us proper and fit. Proper and fit for what? To be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Man, there's so much in this. This is why it takes me so long to get through it. Who has delivered us. Who has delivered us. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. A lot of your more modern translations say the kingdom of the Son of his love, which is actually a pretty good translation. And, you know, without reteaching things, I'm just going to touch on some things and then we'll move forward. But he has delivered us. To deliver really means to draw to oneself. So not only has he separated you from the situation, which was the kingdom of darkness, but he did this and brought you to himself. He delivered you out and brought you in. Brought you to himself. Brought you into the kingdom of God. Brought you into the kingdom of light. You are a person of light. Now, when I say that, I am a light person in one sense. You know, I shine, but I am not light in the sense of there is a weightiness to me, and there is a weightiness to you. Now, the reason I say that, man, we are so far off already. There is a weightiness to you because when you go back into the Old Testament, there are different words which have some components to them that are similar, actually identical. And two words that are very closely related are honor and glory. And those two words are related in the fact that they both mean weighty. When it talks about glory, it talks about a weightiness. There are times when the glory of God will come upon you, so much so, He manifests in this realm to the degree that you can feel it with your body. And it is sometimes a weightiness, a heaviness, not in a bad way. It's a glorious thing. So we are people of light in that we shine, but we are people of weight in that we are people of glory. We are people of glory. We are people of glory. Matter of fact, Debbie, go ahead and go back to Ephesians chapter 1 again. Ephesians chapter 1. And just begin in verse 16 like we did before. And I want to walk through something and then we'll move forward into Colossians, I think. But he says there, I cease not to give thanks for you, make mention of you in my prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. It's His calling. Now, it becomes yours when He gives it to you, but it's truly His calling. It is His choice for your life. It is the steps that He lays out for you. It is what He created you to do and to be. So, again, the eyes of your understanding being light, you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. He actually talks about within you, there's glory. His inheritance in you is the very glory of God. Now, I can show that to you elsewhere as well. But this is amazing. His inheritance in you is His glory. Now, in Romans chapter 6, and then going over into Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 6, it says that Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Romans chapter 8, it says Jesus was raised from the dead by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. So, when you have dwelling within you the glory of God, you have dwelling within you the Holy Spirit. You are a person of glory. And you were created by God Himself. You were created for God Himself. And you were created of God Himself, in that you were made of His very nature and essence. When you were born again, you got the nature of God. You got life in you. Jesus breathed on them, said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost," and boom, they got born again. And the life of God came into them. The life of God is the very nature and essence of Him. So when you were born again, you got the life of God. You got the light of God. You got the glory of God. You are a glorious person on the inside. Your spirit is glorious. It's amazing how we degrade what God has made. Don't do that. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I said 2 Corinthians and then I turned to 1 Corinthians. There we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And look at the last verse, verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass. Now, when it says as in a glass, anybody have a different translation than the King James? What do you have, Dallas? NIV. What's it say in the NIV? Verse 18, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. I think it's I'm sure it is.
And we, who with unveiled faces, all reflect the Lord's glory.
Okay, what do you have? Yes. So, it says we look at a mirror, but then it says, which is the Word of God. Is that the Amplified? Is that what that is? Yeah. You can look at in James, it talks about the Word of God being a mirror. So it's dead on with that. So when we look into a mirror, what do we see? We see us. And we all, with unveiled face, because we continued to behold in the Word of God as in a mirror, what are we beholding? The glory of God. So we see a reflection of glory. When you get into the Word of God, it is going to reveal to you what God says about you. And what He says about you is He sees you differently than you see yourself. So don't debase what He has made. Don't belittle what He has made. Don't look at yourself wrongly. I am a child of the Most High God. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. I am God breathed. He breathed into me the life of God, and I became a new creature. I not only became a new creature, I became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I became a glorious being. And if you could see yourself as you are, you shine, you glisten, and you crackle with power. Because the very glory of God is the power of God. And He made you in such a way where He created you to be very much like Him. Now, we're not going to get off into wacko theology here. We're going to stick with the Word of God. And as we do that, you were not created to be another little God. You were created to function very much like God in conjunction with God. In other words, we hook up with Him, and we are those who enforce what He wants enforced in the earth. Authority is not power. Authority is the right and the privilege to exercise, to access and to exercise power. It's not my power, it's His power. But He created us to function very much like Him. And you exercise that authority with your words most of the time. If He tells you to do something, you need to do it. Don't just talk about it. But most of the time, you're exercising authority through words. So let's go back then to Colossians chapter 1. And we'll pick up in verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, suitable, fit. There's another word that also applies, and that is the word sufficient. He has made you sufficient to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Then let's go into verse 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. This is a companion scripture to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. They both say the same thing. The latter part of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7 is left off in this, but it says basically the same thing. And that word redemption, it means a release effected upon the payment of a ransom. In whom we have a release effected upon the payment of a ransom. And the payment of the ransom was what? His blood. And what were we ransomed from? Sin. Now, the subject of sin is vast. I just want to touch on a couple things and then we'll move on, because we only have a few minutes left. But when it comes to sin, we have sin itself. We have the nature of sin. Well, we have been set free from the nature of sin. We have been set free from the effects of sin. You know, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is what? Death. We've been set free from that. We've been set free from that. We get life instead of death. So the effect of sin, or the wages of sin, we've been set free from that. We've been set free from the kingdom of sin. He's translated us from one kingdom to another. We've been set free from the king of the kingdom of darkness. He's translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. We have a different king. We have been set free from the weight of sin. And this is one that many people have problems with, that weight, that burden, that guilt of sin. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So, there's no condemnation to us. We've been set free from the condemnation of sin. And then, and this one's huge, and we have to walk this out, we've been set free from the power of sin. Now, if you go over to Romans chapter 6, let's just go there real quick and then we'll move on. But in Romans chapter 6, it says here in verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. When he says let not sin, it means that you can let sin reign. You can do that, but you don't have to. Then jumping down into verse 14 of the same chapter, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under the law, but you're under grace. So when you got born again, you were set free from the dominion or the power of sin. And now let me explain that. When you were born again, and I've heard it put this way, you're not a sinner because of acts or actions. You're a sinner because of nature, okay? People sin because of their nature. Paul described it in the 7th chapter of Romans, and he talked about it. I was alive without the law once, but when the law came, sin revived and I died. So he was alive at one point before he knew he was a sinner. But when he became aware of that, bang, then sin began to dominate in his life. He was still a sinner, but he was not held accountable for that because he did not know. That age is not the age of 13. That age is not the age of 12. That age is unique to every individual. We get over into, when I begin talking about this, I talk about the nature of man. Every one of us is born as a sinner, but when a baby dies, that baby has not reached a point where it was aware. That baby goes to heaven. So you don't need to worry about that. But when we come to that point of being aware, all of a sudden, bang, what sin does is it dominates us. Now, as I said, we sin not because we're sinners, not because we do an act or don't do an act. We're sinners because of our nature, but because of our nature, we will sin. Because of our nature, it is inevitable that a person will sin. But what happens when you get born again is your nature changes. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, we were all, and I think it's in verse 2. Go ahead and put up verse 2 there, Debbie. Ephesians 2:2. It's either verse 2 or verse 3. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Then go on into verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation or our lifestyle in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. Another translation, many other translations say, we were sinners by nature as all the rest of humanity, or all the rest of people. So our nature is why we sin. But when you get born again, you get a new nature. So when you get this new nature, now sin is not more powerful than you are. It was at one time because it was my nature. I was going to sin because it was my nature. But now I've got a new nature. Now if I sin, it's because I submitted to sin. I gave in to sin. That's why he says, don't let sin dominate you. Don't let sin dominate you. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey the lust thereof. So when we examine that, we begin to understand that. Now let's go back then to where we were at in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14. Colossians 1 and verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood. In whom we have redemption. This is one of the most powerful It's more than a concept, it's a reality. One of the most powerful realities that you can get a hold of, in whom we have redemption, a release effected upon the payment of a ransom. The payment of the ransom was his blood. Well, what does that mean? It means his life. It tells us in the Old Testament, the life of the flesh is in the blood. So when his blood poured out, his life poured out. So in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, we've been set free from sin in all of its effects, in all of its aspects, in all of the tendrils that run into people's lives, we have been set free. Now, am I telling you that I'm perfect? Ask her. She will tell you I'm not. Which means that I've got some things I got to work on. You know, when we talk about temptation, that is sin using something to try and get me over into an arena, into an area where I give in and I let sin dominate me. But the truth is, what sin is trying to get me to do is get me out of the spirit and into the flesh. Because if you will walk in the spirit, you will dominate sin. You will absolutely dominate sin. Walk in the spirit. This I say, therefore, walk in the spirit and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The lusts of the flesh are not good. You know, that's Galatians 5:16. So, again, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. That's Colossians 1, where I'm back at, verse 15. So, Jesus is the very image of the invisible God. One of the reasons that he came was to show us what God was like. So let's look at this. We'll just look at a few verses here and then we'll wrap it up. But let's go over to John chapter 12. John chapter 12 and verse 45. And Jesus here says, if you've got red letter edition, this is red. This is in red. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. And then jump over into the 14th chapter and verse 9. John 14, 9, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. So how do you say, show us the Father? They were wanting Jesus to pull back the curtain of heaven so that they could see the Father. And he said, look, look, look at me. I am the human, not just representation, I am the human image of the Father. Go over to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Then go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 13. And we'll read verses 13 and 14. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds. I'll wait for you to get there. Now, did I say 2 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians. Wait a minute. I better check my notes. It is 2 Corinthians 4. It's verse 3, not 13. I was close. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. There we go. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So when he talks about this in Colossians, what he is saying is, look at Jesus and you see the Father. Now, we are living in a day which is so wonderful because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. You say, what does he look like? Looks exactly like Jesus. The same attributes, the same things about him as was Jesus, as was the Father. They are three individuals. They have different parts to play, but they are identical in their character. Jesus said, it is expedient for you that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit won't come. But if I go away, I will send him unto you. In another place, he said that he was going to send another comforter. That's Parakletos, that is the advocate, intercessor, standby, all of those different things. And that word another means identical in character to the first. So, you want to know what the Holy Ghost looks like? What, you know, not necessarily looks like, but what he is like. You want to know what the Father is like? You want to know? Look at Jesus. Say, well, I've never seen him. Then you haven't been in the Word of God, because it will give you an image. It will give you an image. It will give you an image. I can see him, though I have never seen him. I can see the throne of God, though I have never been there. Though the veil has never been pulled back like it was for Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. I see, you know, where he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, his train filled the temple. And he talked about the temple there, and that's heaven. That's heaven. I've not done that, but I know my God. I don't know him by my senses. I don't know him by my emotions. I know him by faith, and I know him by the Word of God, and I have faith that what he says is true. And not only do I have faith, I am fully persuaded about it. And so when I see Jesus, I see the Father, I see the Holy Spirit. They are identical in character. So what Jesus would have done had he physically been here to encourage you, the Holy Spirit will. What Jesus would have done to speak love to you, what he would have done to lead you. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. My sheep, you know, they know my voice. They follow my voice. You know, I lead them. The Holy Spirit will do the same thing for you. So, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, and then it calls him the firstborn of every creature. That means that he is the preeminent one above all of creation. And you go into the next few verses, and it talks about him being the creator. John chapter 1 is a beautiful picture of this. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Light shineth in the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man was not that true light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that true light which lights every man that comes into the world. And then it talks about Jesus. He was in the world. The world was made by him, but the world knew him not. He came unto his own received him not. But to as many as received him, that be us. But to as many as received him, that be us. But to as many as received him, that be us. But to as many as received him, gave you the power to become the sons of God, which are born not of blood, nor the will of man, nor the will of flesh, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You say you can't see glory. Can you see Jesus? Then you can see glory. We're going to talk about that in the upcoming days as we finally get through the next couple of chapters of this. But I'm telling you, this book is so rich. And I don't believe there is any corrective element to it. It's just one line upon another, written to us. And it is so beautiful. You know, you look at Galatians, there's a lot of correction. You look at 1 Second Corinthians, there's a whole lot of correction there. You know, you look at Romans, there's correction there. But man, you get into this. There might be some in Philippians, a little bit here and there. But man, this is one of those books that it's so rich and so beautiful. And it's written to us. Well, Father, we just come before you. I thank you for this time that we've had as the body of Christ. You are good. You are good. You are good. Oh, listen to Katni. We do shinde era. We do shinde era. We do shinde era. We do shinde era nukosa pa. We ni kapa nu osati. We ni kesatande ni. We ni koro onetiti. We need that wisdom. Oh, na hisarabanda ukomana ite ende ero ongarite. Imba shanda ni kaladiste. For the challenges ahead. Nongra mafasindere ambla. Ye. So that we can say yes. So that we can say yes. So that we can say yes to the right. Nikoshandanite. To the right things, no, and no to the wrong things. Shanduri kalamadiska endadite, flying higher, going further, going faster. Nishkoto ten rebidi ingiamano osarete, bashandarehen la angirete. Oh, ingusande bahinedi, Holy Spirit, Spirit of wisdom and revelation, impart unto us revelation. Impart unto us revelation. We need the revelation. Oh, give unto us the revelation that we need, Holy One. This is not about me impressing people. This is about me doing your will, walking in the perfect will of God and seeing what you want done. Oh, I thank you for the wisdom of God and the revelation which gives us all that we need. Because God, it is not how old we are. It is how much we tune into you and we receive. So I thank you. Now, Lord, oh, nasare ito kon jibata, chete keke kon radini zingondon ziblanda ite, teru sangani atite, centoro omate niskedenda alamate. There are different ways to get to the same goal. Shambana kikonde cheruna ikenite. Chalamadi. And sometimes you think, oh, kana isarabanda tetne esembana ekedite. It is the shortcut. Oh, I'll get there. No koslahandri nikeste. And your shortcut will cost you. Konsaramatiti. For it is not my way. Oh, shalatini ikidendo. Just remember, I see differently than you. My perspective is perfect. And so when I speak to you and I say, do it this way, do it at this time, do it now, understand. I know what I'm talking about. Lahaskino junukurati. And there are different ways to get to the same goal. And when you have the goal, which you do, implanted in you by me, oh, it has come to you, then you need the revelation on how. You need the revelation on how. You need the revelation on how. Yeah, we do, God. Yes. Nahaseko ron ishamatu jenda nkiskana ete che elomana aramabagasendanikana adonde elemati snikite che ro ungote samaki. Uramaka, wisdom and revelation. Holy Spirit is the spirit of seeing and knowing. That's you. Give us the revelation that we need. And Holy One. Holy One. Your name is holy. You are flawless. And you are for us. And so when you say do something that's hard, it's not because you're beating us up. It's because it needs to be done and you have entrusted us. Oh, yeah, I understand. Thank you, Lord, for entrusting us with the hard. And God, often, it's not going to be so hard. We think it's going to be. Sometimes there'll be some hard things, but oft times, God, when you call us to it, oh, there's the equipment and there's the help. And what we have thought is, I have to do it alone, but we don't. And so, God, I thank you for these people, that they don't have to do it alone. And the goals on the inside, you've given us the goals. Now, give us the revelation of how to accomplish those goals. Yeah. the revelation on how to get to those places. Even the steps to take. And God, the timing. We don't want to be behind nor ahead. So, Jesus, you know, I see it in the Word. You were always 100% on time. And we can be too. So I thank you for the unction. You're getting us ready. And you're showing us the steps. We've asked. And we receive revelation from the Spirit. Now, Lord, this body has been attacked by the enemy. And I am not happy. I am not joyful about it. He has ravaged. He has attacked. He has ripped. He has torn. And he has tried to kill. And it stops now. Lord God, we stand in a place given authority by God the Son Himself, delegated to us from heaven, from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And I say it stops. Sickness, you've had your way. You spirit of infirmity, you have come back over and over and over and over and over again. And I say it stops now. It stops now. It stops now. In the name of Jesus, I bind you and I command you to release. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who walked the earth flawlessly and empowered us with His name, by His blood, and by His Spirit. And I say, enough is enough. Jesus, you paid the price by that beating you took. Our position is healed. And now, you spirit of infirmity, you cannot stay. You cannot remain. Get out! In the name of Jesus the Christ. And now, Holy Spirit. Yes, flooding, flooding, flooding. Washing it out. I understand, God. Different ways that you're going to do things. But I see it as done. I see it as done now. And the attacks of the enemy on this body, stop! We are the children of the Most High God. And we are under your protection. You are our shield, our buckler, our strong tower, our rear guard. And we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, you are our shield. You are our protection. You are our strong tower. You are. And we abide in you. Now. Not going to happen now. And we praise you for what you've done. I thank you for giving us a mouth and wisdom to use it. And now as we depart, I thank you for the very protection of God. You give your angels charge over us. They keep us in all our ways, bear us up in their hands, lest we even dash our foot against the stone, because we have made you, the Most High God, our habitation. Holy Spirit, you dwell in us. You guide us, you direct us, and we obey, and I thank you. Now, have your way. Now, have your way. Now, have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.